Are you ready?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the PODcast, your favorite podcast about nu metal. This is episode number 57. We are covering the self-titled studio debut album from the band Trapped. It is called Trapped. I am John, and with me is a man who is headstrong. He'll take on anyone. It's Brian Quinby.
They should have called it Cramped. C-R-A-P-T.
Crapped.
Cramped. Fucking band sucks, man. Dog shit. Some of the worst shit I've ever heard.
Right away, you're just going in right away.
Yeah, worst shit I've ever heard doing this show. And I've heard some shit doing this show. I'd rather listen.
We've heard some shit.
I would rather listen to Puddle of Mud three times in a row than listen to this one more time. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's, you know.
That's cool. I don't know if I'm right there with you on that.
It's poo poo and pee pee. I think because I know the singer's politics, I think that's part of it.
That's making it worse for you.
I would also definitely hate this if
he was like a union organizer and
I'd tell him to eat shit too. It sucks. But you know what though? Maybe it would be a lot less crappy if this guy didn't go around acting like a tough guy. That's what I was telling you yesterday. That all rings so either this tough guy persona he has rings false, or it's the thing, it's like whatever it is, he's not being genuine. You know what I mean? Right. In either way. And I hate that. You know what? Before we get to it, we'll stop. Because we were going to look at, we just did the bonus episode and I had the Blitz up and I wanted to ask John if he knew some of the bands they just played.
Right. Okay. So this is your like local Columbus, like rock radio station.
Hard rock. Yeah. Like they just play Boba Flex.
Did they actually?
I swear to you on my life, bury me with my guns.
Boba Flex. Oh my god, dude.
They just put the last three songs they played were Cumbersome by 7 Mary 3, which that goes. That I agree with. They should play it every hour. Yeah. I love that song. Yeah. Pieces by Daughtry, which I don't think I've ever heard of.
Daughtry is like fuck off to me. Yeah. I don't come at me with your Daughtry. I think it's been well established that I have a little bit more of a spot in my heart for butt rock that compared to you. And that's totally fine. But like, even with Daughtry, I'm like, get this.
I mean,
who's that for? Who's a huge Daughtry fan?
Well, and isn't Daughtry not like the kind of rock music you play on a station that doesn't play rock music? Isn't that
what he is? Like Daughtry's like a crossover, like he's definitely getting played on some adult contempo stations, no question.
So they play a Daughtry song on like Sunny 95, which is our you know, they play like the soft stuff for adults. Their actual ads are so good because it's like what they advertise as the good thing about listening to their station is exactly what we would hate. It's one of those perfect kind of, they're like music you can play out loud at work. It's right. Like, ugh.
Yeah, you're like,
none of that's good.
Yeah, that sounds bad to me. please don't give me that. Yeah, that is weird that there are definitely radio stations where that is their main that is their main thing, right? Where they'll say you don't have to feel guilty about putting this on.
Yeah, you can play this in front of your kids, which I don't. I would disagree. I mean, because your kids would hate it. You know what I mean? Like, you can play this in front of your kids. I mean, technically, you can play fucking jazz in front of your kids. You play any fucking thing you want in front of your kids. That doesn't mean that it's good.
Yeah.
And like, they do Delilah. I don't know if you guys know about Delilah up there, no. But she's like a host on late nights on these soft rock stations. And okay. She like reads letters and she'll be like, Jim wanted to send this out to Teresa and let her know that he misses her and he will love her forever.
Oh no.
And then they'll play the song. Yeah. Then they play the song, but the song will have like 4 or 5 requests. You know what I mean? It won't just be Jim and Teresa. It'll be like, Jim and Teresa say this. And Hank and...
Does it ever get horny?
No, because that's okay. What it is. You got it, that station. Right. It really is mostly either like sexless I love yous. Because it can't be dirty. So it would be like an I love you. But it won't be like... You know, I love the passion we have when we're sucking and fucking and stuff like that. Like, that would never be on there. It would be like...
Well, I wouldn't think they would say, like, my passion for sucking and fucking, but I could see them being like, Jim, Teresa wants you to know that she yearns for your touch.
Oh, no.
Nature. I didn't think it was going to be like, you know... Jim, Teresa wants to gag on your knob.
Yeah. No, it's not even, it doesn't even go there, dude. It really, you know what it...
Oh, it doesn't. Okay.
You know what it would remind you of? It will remind you when you were in like 4th grade and you had a crush on a girl and you sent her a letter. How it would just be like a letter about like, oh, I love you. You're so... You know, whatever, but would never have anything.
Some of the letters I sent girls in high school were a little bit more of the gag on my knob.
fourth grade.
Oh, okay.
And you send a letter to a girl, or first grade, you have a crush on a girl and you just don't even like know what it is. And you just send them, you write them a letter that's like, I love you. I like hanging out with you. I like watching the cartoons on the phone with you or whatever. You know,
I remember that when I was in grade seven. When I was in grade 7, I had a crush on this girl in grade 8. And my mom bought me like a little chocolate, like a little box of chocolates to give to her. And then I was sick like on Valentine's Day. I like missed school on Valentine's Day. So I just ate the chocolates myself. But then I told the girl still, I had a box of chocolates that I was going to give you. But
that's the most Street Fight fan thing I've ever heard you say. Hey, I had 15 Xanax and I was going to give them to you, but then I ended up taking them. So I couldn't get them here, but I wanted you to know.
I wanted her to know that if I wasn't sick on Valentine's Day, she would have gotten the box of chocolates. But
it's like kind of my mom thing too. My mom really likes to tell you that she's going to get you something and then not get it because she gets the buzz from telling you.
Right.
But you already get the buzz of giving you the present. Like, I'm going to get you this. And then you don't ever have to really send it because you got the good feelings associated with the present, which isn't, don't do that. That's not a good way to go. But yeah. The Delilah stuff. And like, I think like, you know, you got to imagine that like 99% of that stuff is written by some intern at the radio station. You know, so they have very much control over all that stuff. It's the same thing with requests where like back in the day, I don't know if I've told the story, like 2:30 in the morning. And I guess it would be 96, 97. Me and my idiotic friends were on the phone calling the Blitz and saying, hey, can you play Korn? And they just laughed at us and hung up the fucking phone. And like we would coordinate each other at each other's houses all calling in a row.
Right.
And they wouldn't come close to playing Korn. And then it occurred to me later on in life, that's like, they don't really take requests.
Right.
They're going to play what they're going to play. Sure. And if somebody calls and asks for something, they'll record it and then say, this is a, hey, can you play this? It's not because if they, because like the way radio works and the way radio works now is like, no, they have no control. Zero.
Yeah.
It just, there's a fucking computer in front of them and it's like, I'm going to play. But they played another Daughtry song a couple hours ago called the radio's going to play. And how bad would that suck to be like a person who does it? And like, everybody thinks that what you're playing on the radio is your taste in music. When you know the DJs aren't listening to Asking Alexandria when they're not at work.
Especially like in the older days where like radio DJs were legitimate, like famous people or like quasi famous people, you know, in the age of the internet, I feel like we don't really give a shit about radio DJs anymore, but like definitely whoever your like drive time and morning show guys were in your neighborhood or in your town, city, whatever, were like legit celebs. So, you know, that when they were out in public, people would either be like yelling requests at them or being like, man, why are you playing? Why are you playing Korn so much, man? Like that shit sucks, dude. Like, why are you playing it? And you'd have to be like, I'm just like the guy that talks into the microphone. I'm not.
You want to break? I want to break kayfabe so bad.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Because you can't go around saying I don't like this shit.
No,
that is out of the question. So people are like, why do you play Jet every single day, six times? Like, why do you do that? And you have to be like, well, I think Jet's a really rad band. And it's like, nobody thinks Jet's a really rad band. They just played Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Well, it's so funny because Calgary does not have a hard rock radio station, but Vancouver does. So I was looking up Vancouver. It's 99.3 The Fox. And they have also played Jet within the last 2 hours. And they also played Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
So. It's nuts, man. Like, Jet is such, like, you would think Jet is the biggest band that ever existed if you turn on any rock radio station. Like, you would just think, like, fuck, man, in the 2000s, everybody was going wild for Jet. And it's like, no,
they weren't. Actually, Pitchfork famously gave the Jet album like 0.4 or whatever it was. Like,
Jet. Are You Gonna Be My Girl, Jet?
Yeah, they played Are You Gonna Be My Girl. I'll give you some selections for this. So again, they have to play Canadian music as well. So I'll skip some of the Canadian bands like that are
just on a dead band.
Well, yeah, right now they're playing Photograph by Nickelback. They also played Salvation by the Strumbellas, who I know that you would definitely not know.
They stink, though.
They played My Hero by the Foo Fighters.
Of course.
They played the new single from Pearl Jam, Dark Matter. They played Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire, Van Halen, Running with the Devil. Tragically Hip, Ahead by a Century, and I can't believe this one, Stained, It's Been a While.
Man, that fucking Kings of Leon song that you just named, I used to party. So I was doing like a podcast that nobody ever heard. It was like a very early thing, mostly just an excuse for me and my friends to hang out.
It was called Friday Night Fire, and it was about all the STIs you had.
No, but we would go to my friend's house and we would sit in the basement. We record this thing. And then when we got done, we kind of hang out at the house and all of our friends would be there partying and stuff like that. And this girl, the woman who lived in the house, you know what I mean? She would play that song over and over again, like in a row, not even like, oh, we'll hear a few more songs and I'll play it again. It was on fucking repeat all the time. And that is all I think about when I think of Kings of Leon, and I never want to hear them again. Plus, Kings of Leon on a rock station is very weird to me. That doesn't
they're a rock work. Band. So.
I know, but they would be more on the alternative station here.
Sure. This one definitely has some more alternative. Like, they played 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, that's a Blitz song.
Yeah. Okay. Cannonball by the Breeders. Which is kind of sick. Yeah, they've got this playlist is actually kind of sick. They've got Longview by Green Day, Navid by Our Lady Peace, which is a great like early Our Lady Peace song. They played Bring Me to Life by Evanescence. You got Beastie Boys, Sabotage, Soundgarden, Black Hole Sun, Oasis, Wonderwall. We do have Theory of a Dead Man, Santa Monica.
They got to play that, though. That's the wall.
Yeah, they have to. We got Jeremy, Pearl Jam, In Bloom, Nirvana, Enter Sandman, Metallica, Chop Suey, System of a Down, Linkin Park, Numb. So, like, this station is playing, like, more new metal than you would think in this, like, in this 2024 time.
Theory of a Dead Man, and this is no exaggeration, is one of the nastiest things that I've ever covered on a podcast. That guy is really, he's like evil. Like, some of those songs are like,
not a good guy.
Holy, like, there's
Santa Monica really sucks too. Like, what, really sucks.
What is the song where he comes out and just immediately says something like, hold on.
Well, there's the song about like the hobos, but
the, oh, that also one. The song, I'm the so sick of
came back.
The bitch came back. That's another one. They're so, and listen, he looks exactly like you think he would look. Like, if you look at a picture of him, you're like, oh yeah, that's exactly what the guy that sings "The Bitch Came Back" would look like. Like, look at this picture. I'm chatting it up. I'm sending this.
Santa. I know what the guy looks like. His face is in my mind. I don't need.
But this
it.
Picture, need to see no. Picture. This picture is like exactly like if you were like AI, make a picture of Theory of a Dead Man, and they never saw him. This is what would show up. It's just this picture of this guy with this hairdo that he has the, I'm a, what the fuck? I went to Spotify. Oh, fuck it. I fucked it up. I hate him, man. I hate that guy. I find him to be the most object. One of, there's two guys that broke my brain that I hated a lot. Theory of a Dead Man.
Yep.
And Jim Rome are the two guys that I was just like, these guys are too, that's too far for me. It's too much. He's too nasty. So
yeah, he's a nasty boy. Santa Monica is such a funny song too, because it's about like he's mad at a girl for leaving him, and it's like, buddy, I got some news for you. Like, this chorus is like, I remember the day when you left for Santa Monica. You left me to remain with all your excuses for everything. And I remember the time when you left for Santa Monica, and I remember the day you told me it's over. Like, I bet you do remember that day. It's probably been a few of those days.
Oh, for sure. When did The Bitch Came Back was released in 2011 too. That's not like a 90s song or like a 2003 right. Song
where you could like excuse it potentially.
Exactly. I use 2011 as the date because that is when I started doing Street Fight, and we were maybe like a year late to kind of being decent people. You know what I mean? Like, in 2010, I was still like kind of a bad dude, but by 2011 I had caught on to it.
Right, you're 10 years after 9/11, right? You've had time to like settle in and be a good person.
I can't believe how much I hate that band. Let me get them written down. Let me get their album ready for when I put it in the poll.
We can't just keep doing these really bad albums all in a row.
We can. We're allowed. They can't. People also search for Chad Kroeger.
Yeah. Well, he signed them to his label. Theory of a Dead Man, I think, is the first band that Chad signed to 604 Records.
So what does Seether, Saint Asonia, and Godsmack have to do with him?
I would imagine they toured together, maybe. Seether.
That'd be nuts. Can you imagine being friends with a guy from Theory of a Dead Man? Like, you're on the road and you got to hang out with him.
Yeah.
He's, I think, probably the jokes.
Wrote a bunch of times.
The jokes have to be the worst shit you've ever heard in your life. Like,
for sure, the guy still calls women like chicks and or broads. Like,
oh, yeah, hey, chicks, man.
Definitely backstage. Like, I met this fucking chick, right?
Jesus. Like, all the bands that are kind of tied to Theory of a Dead Man, like when you look at the people also search for, and it's like Hinder, what's Hinder's big album?
Lips of an Angel is the song, but I can't remember the album.
Maybe we get Hinder.
It's kind of a decent song, Hinder. Hinder. Lips of an Angel is not a bad song.
Shinedown, which is
Yeah, Shinedown's no good.
You listen.
That's a nasty.
Like this, they did a cover. Deftones did that Lynyrd Skynyrd cover, and so did Shinedown. And when you listen to them together, you're like, "Ooh,
right." Right?
One of these guys understood the assignment.
Yeah. Oh boy.
But yeah, Pop Evil, which is one that I don't even know
that.
See, they are a band that I hear a lot about, and they play them on the thing. I think they're kind of, when you look at, I'm going to look at their genre. Maybe we'll have to do something like that. Pop Evil is an American rock band that was formed in North Muskegon, Michigan in 2001. Evil. Yeah, they don't have, you know how they have the genre? It's like my favorite thing in the world. Oh, hard rock, alternative metal, post grunge, metalcore. So they would fit this show. They would never win, but yeah. Because remember, when we did we do Hollywood Undead?
Yes, we did.
Oh, that was good.
That was nasty.
This is one of the worst ones we ever did.
That was nasty.
Hey, but we're doing a worse one today.
Yeah, let's get into it.
We are
covering Trapped's major label debut and second studio album. It is self-titled Trapped. It came out on November 5th, 2002. It was recorded in Vancouver, British Columbia at The Warehouse. It was produced by Garth, along with Warren Riker and Anthony Valchich. It is, it's a very, very successful album. It came out in November of 2002. By November of 2003, it had gone platinum. It spent 80 weeks on the Billboard 200, peaking at number 42 on the Billboard 200. It was pretty massive album. Ended the year at number 80 on the Billboard 200 charts in 2003 and number 113 on the Billboard 200 in 2004. So the album had multi-year staying power. Headstrong was the first single off of the album. It peaked at number 16 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. It also went to number one on the alternative and mainstream rock tracks charts. Still Frame peaked at number 69 on the Billboard Hot 100, went to number three on the alternative rock tracks chart and number one on the mainstream rock tracks chart. And the third single, Echo, was 125 on the Hot 100. Number 10, alternative rock, number 13, mainstream rock. So a pretty massive album, to be sure. Brian, I guess we'll start with you. I know you've already made it clear that you hated this album, but let's take it back to 2002. I'm sure you would have heard Trapped, particularly Headstrong. It was very ubiquitous at the time. Did you have any feelings for Trapped back in 2002? Were you aware of them?
Got them confused with another band all the time, basically. Like, you could have told me Trust Company or Trapped. I get them confused with Trust Company.
But Trust Company's good.
The song Downfall, I always think is Headstrong. But like, I mix them up. What?
But Downfall is a good song.
Sure. Okay, I covered it in my rock band. That's one of the songs we covered.
Yeah, we talked about it on our
crawl. You know,
we did a Y'all this song, episode about it.
This song, I will say, this album has the worst guitar tone I've heard in any of the albums we've covered. Just dog shit. Fucking sand it off sand off any fucking edge that you could possibly have in any one of these songs. Fucking just really, like, nothing gets you going. There, I got Headstrong doesn't even sound like a fucking metal song to me at all.
I'll tell you this about Headstrong as well. It ended 2003 at number one on the mainstream rock tracks chart and the modern rock tracks chart. It was named Billboard's number one rock song of 2003. However, in 2018, a poll by Ultimate Guitar Magazine saw the site's users rate Headstrong as having the fourth worst riff of all time.
It sucks, dude. It doesn't sound like anything. It, like, doesn't sound like something I could mosh to at all. And like, I think I always kind of hated it because it feels... It doesn't feel heavy to me at all. It doesn't feel like metal to me, even. Like, I'll go as far as to say these motherfuckers might as well just be Daughtry. when I listen to this shit, because like, it is like, I don't know, you know, I like heavy stuff. I tend to like heavier stuff than you, John. And, you know, big, like some of the bands, I like Power Trip. I used to like, I liked Pantera a lot. And like all these bands that just, when you listen to it, it's like, you fucking know you're listening to metal. When you listen to these songs on this album, it just is so, it's almost like smooth jazz or something. It's like a smooth version of metal. It's like the rock station, right? That I was talking about, the light rock station. This is their version of metal. Like somebody that listens right. to that could go fucking wild to this, but somebody who has had metal playing in their head their whole life, this doesn't even like, this doesn't have any relationship to any of that stuff for me.
Now, but okay, but I'm trying to get back to like when you first heard Headstrong, like was there any love for it at all? Were you like in the moment you didn't like it back then either?
It came out at the very tail end. This is a 2001 or two song?
Two, yeah.
2002? Oh yeah, no. Because like 2001 is when I started buying, I don't know, 2001 is really when I started buying like stuff that wasn't nu metal. Like that was right. when I started buying like Weezer albums, and Weezer's heavier than this. And I think back then it was just, I hated it because again, it doesn't fucking sound like anything to me. It like, I, it's so hard to explain, but it just isn't badass. And I think everybody agrees with me. I'd love to see what their second album sold. Like probably nothing, fucking nothing. Cause people were like, I don't need any more of this shit. You know,
let's see the, Someone in Control is their, third album or, but second after second major label album after, the first one, it debuted at number 14 on the Billboard 200. But as of April 2006, it had only sold 263,000 copies. So it's not even gold.
Yeah.
And then after this album, they were dropped by Warner Brothers.
This album, that's the other thing, right? Is like the songs on this album are Headstrong's the heaviest song on the album. Right. And that says so much because there was no world in which I was going to listen to this. I heard it on the radio. I knew about Trapped, but Trapped was almost like a joke among my friends because it had gotten so far away from like we had gotten so far away from like, you know, being into like Spine Shank and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like we had gotten to this point, I think in 2001, I would have started listening to heavier metal. That's not nu metal, but it was also around the time when I was just like, I'm not into this shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like any of this stuff. This right. song comes out and it feels like more than anything, it feels like such an attempt at like a mega hit out, like guys that they had in their mind that they were going to make this album that everybody's listening to. And like, I just don't know. I understand that's how most people do, but this wasn't geared towards metal fans. I don't think this album was geared towards metal fans.
No,
I don't think they were going for metal fans. I really think they were going for people who this would be a metal song to, which is
sure.
people that don't listen to other stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh,
it
yeah,
wasn't for me at all. That this album was not, I don't think this album was for either one of us. This is just not for us. It's somebody else. Like,
well, I was 17 when this album came out, so this was a little bit more for me maybe than you'd think.
35 is the age I'm thinking of. 35, 40 is
sure, when you're sure, like, oh, sure. Okay, but I think I love also this. Like if you're a kid though, like because I would say to me this is the same kind of lane that a band like Hoobastank is occupying. I think Hoobastank is better than Trapped, but like it's the same kind of idea where, you know, we've talked about this a lot, that in the early aughts, you know, there were sort of a couple paths you could go down because you couldn't go down the nu metal path anymore. So you had to go down the Slipknot path and be heavy, or you had to go down the Linkin Park path and be poppy. And Linkin Park is obviously like a heavier band than Trapped and Hoobastank, but that was kind of like the model at that time that they were following. So to me, like Trapped is, this is coming out late 2002, right? So we're getting into like Hybrid Theory's already been out for 2 years. Trapped only has an EP that comes out before this. So they're not, you know, it's not like they have like a full album, then they get picked up by a nu metal band. Or sorry, okay, no, it does say they do have actually a full album, Amalgamation, in 99, but they only sold it at their live shows. You can't find it now. So anyway, like, so maybe in 99, they're doing something that's like a little bit heavier, but I'm guessing they're fans of Linkin Park, they're fans of Incubus, they're fans of bands like that that are heading on like a lighter path. And then to me, this all, the guitars on this record are very much from the Disturbed school of production, where it's like the guitar riffs are essentially heavy. Like what they're playing, like if you heard it live, it would probably sound like a heavy guitar riff, but there's so much palm muting and the guitars are compressed so much that on record, it does not sound heavy. Like it's designed to be palatable to someone listening to rock radio, for sure.
Yeah. Incubus was another band that popped in my head, and I like Incubus. So yeah, I'm not like trying to be a prick about it, but it's not that once Make Yourself comes out, they're kind of, but Incubus has a sort of, I don't want to say this because people are going to goop on it, but like a kind of soul to them. And like, right, you can track the way they get to Make Yourself by listening to the stuff that came before Make Yourself.
It doesn't seem like a dramatic right turn where you're like, oh, they're going like a little bit poppier. Like that, it's not, it's all logical for sure. I agree.
Yeah. But for this, it's like, this just came out like that. And you're right, Linkin Park is probably the main influence here, but they do a really bad Linkin Park.
Well, and there's no rapping. It's not like they're doing like a trade-off kind of thing. I just think they're trying to do like, you know, lighter rock music so that it gets played on radio and people like it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I don't know. This was made for somebody else. Like, this was made to be palatable to somebody that is not me. Like, it would be so far out of my wheelhouse. And yeah, I listened to Headstrong and probably knew the words and stuff, but Headstrong, sure, even feels like something that came to me way later. I never saw Trapped in concert because I wouldn't have been going to these concerts by that time. You know, like Snowcore never came to Columbus, which used to piss me off because there were always bands on Snowcore that I liked. I guess because we don't have snowboarding here. But I want to look one of those up now because they played Snowcore.
They did. Yeah.
Which is the one they're kind of talking about. So I can look and they're 95 snow. OK, I got it. It's 95 with Sublime, Guttermouth, Skankin' Pickle, Rhythm Collision, and Safe Two Face.
Skankin' Pickle.
Holy, you don't like Skankin' Pickle? I yelled at for making fun of them.
I cannot say that I like Skankin' Pickle.
The guy is supposedly like the nicest guy in the world, but he named his band Skankin' Pickle. I don't know what you want me to do. 96 was Sublime, Guttermouth, Assorted Jelly Beans, Less Than Jake, Skankin' Pickle, and The Line. But then you get, as you go on, like, so 98, Primus, Blink-182, Long Beach Dub All-Stars, The Aquabats, The Alcoholics, and Mephiscopheles.
Oh, Jesus. That's actually kind of a funny, like, that's a sick ska band name, Mephiscopheles.
I'm trying to find the ones I want. So here it is. 2000. Well,
Snowcore is like, I remember one year that I wanted to go. It was like Glassjaw, Hot Water Music, Dredge. I think that's probably 02 or 03.
So in 2001, they started doing a rock and then an icicle ball thing. So like the rock 2002 is Alien Ant Farm, Edema, Glassjaw, Earshot, and the Apex Theory.
Okay.
And then the icicle ball is like a bunch of bands you never heard of. I'm just, 2003, Sparta, Glassjaw, Hot Water Music, Dredge. Probably was pretty, actually pretty
much. That's a sick lineup. I remember I wanted to go to that and it was at a 19 plus venue and I wasn't 19 yet. So I couldn't go.
And the year that Trapped played is terrible.
When did they play? 04?
2004.
Yeah.
They played with Smile, Empty Soul.
Oh, terrible band.
Finger 11.
Okay, I like them.
And Strata.
Oh.
Why do I remember Strata is important?
Yeah, what was Strata's hit song? I remember that. I remember liking whatever their hit was.
Yeah, what was Strata? I'm getting them confused with Sparta.
Yeah.
But they were in the Electra Sounds.
What is their big song here? I got to look them up on like Spotify because
I don't
know the Panic,
but no clue. There, somebody had to be famous, and but none of their names are blue,
right? Right
on the list on their so who fucking knows? That's crazy. I remember hearing that name all the time on the PRP.
This is apparently Strata's big, it's got their most Spotify plays by like a lot.
What is it?
Piece by Piece.
I think it's just a band that I don't know.
Yeah, I remember this song. I think this was on an NHL soundtrack. I'm listening to it right now.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway. Yeah.
You would absolutely hear, Brian. I'll send it to you. You would absolutely know this song. As soon as you hear this opening riff, you'll be like, oh yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna play it real quick here and just see what I hear. What's it called?
Piece by Piece.
Well, of course it opens up to Theory of a Dead Man. I'll have it in a second. Oh wait, that's because I clicked my link. Fucking stupid ass. God damn it.
That's good.
I'm gonna let you know I've never heard this song and I hate it.
Okay, yeah. As soon as I heard the opening riff, I was like, oh yeah, I know this shit.
I think you were just younger and still kind of tied to... I got an MP3 player in like 2003. So, and Napster is like a 99, 2000 thing. Like, so I started listening to what I wanted to.
Strata's a big, like, they're a wind-up band. And we've also, they're on the Punisher soundtrack that we reviewed. So I've heard Strata before.
Oh, that's crazy. And like, yeah, that's crazy. I've heard of it.
Panic, too. I remember that song.
God, listen, here's a worse one, John. Here's 2006.
Strata, Piece by Piece, was on the Madden 05 soundtrack. That's where I'm remembering it from.
Oh, yeah. 2006 got to be an all-time shitty concert tour. It's Seether headlining.
This is Snowcore still?
Snowcore. Seether, Shinedown, Flyleaf, Hailstorm.
Oof, that's nasty.
I think I've heard a Hailstorm song I like.
Okay.
I love them,
but I don't know if I know one of their songs.
They did a cover of Bad Romance by Lady Gaga.
Okay.
And it's really good. And it's a cover, so you know it's good.
Sure.
Yes.
So I will say Trapped for me, like 02, I'm in grade 11. Trapped was a decently big band. Like my friends who, cause I've talked about this before, but I didn't have friends that were into like really heavy music. Like a lot of my friends were into really heavy music. We're not into it. Like they'd be into rock, but a lot of it was like radio rock and stuff. Like I didn't have friends who liked Korn or who liked, you know, Limp Bizkit or Metallica or Pantera, like some of the bands I was listening to. And Trapped was a band that did crossover where it was like, you know, people who liked rock music who would say like, I like the Foo Fighters and I like Linkin Park and whatever. They liked Trapped. And so Trapped was never a band where I was like, I got to get their album, but definitely the singles like Headstrong, Still Frame and Echo, all three of them are definitely songs that I would have had on mixtapes, like burn CDs at the time. And I would have liked for sure. And like Headstrong was a, I mean, it was a fucking massive song. I mean, you really did just hear it constantly on radio, at parties. Like it was a very ubiquitous song that everybody liked.
The only one I know is Headstrong. So I don't think the other singles even came close to me.
Right.
I'm sure. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you like some of this? This does sound like some shit that you would have been into.
I'm obviously acknowledging that Trapped are a very problematic band and I'm not listening to them now, but, listening to it for this show, Headstrong is actually like, I've gone the other way on it now where I'm like, I don't really like it. Like it doesn't have, I guess in the time I thought it was interesting. And now that I've listened to so much of this music for this show and just like throughout my life, I'm not like Headstrong doesn't really do it for me, but I still think that Echo and Still Frame are good songs. Like, or not like, again, I'm not, am I going to bat for them? Is someone going to be like, hey, like what are the best songs of this era? Like I'm never saying those two songs. But as I'm listening to this album, I'm like, okay, you know, those two songs are still pretty good. Echo in particular, I think is like a good, like, yes, it is soft. It's soft boy shit, but it's good though. Like I still think it's, sung I think it's a good song.
Some big time tough guy, you know, singing these fucking songs that are like every song. It was just like, oh, cry. Go ahead and cry, motherfucker. You proud boy. Like, come on. This is the most, like, it's hard for me to even summon up enough, like, kindness to say, like, yeah, everybody goes through different things because of who the lead singer is. So when you're, let me get my notes up because I have some songs that I was like, so let me see here.
Like I would say for the most part with this album, I guess like it almost reminded me of just like an average movie, you know, where it's like, you're not like it, like an okay time waster type of movie where it's like, yeah, it's not like the best movie I've ever seen, but like, it's fine that it's on. It's fine that I watched it. I'm not like mad that I watched it. And I think we've listened to some albums on this show that were like actively offensive to me, like having to listen to them literally felt like a chore. Like it was like, holy fuck, how many songs are left on this album? Like it genuinely was painful to me to listen to. And this album is just not offensive in that way. Like, I don't think it's a good album overall, but when it's on, I'm not like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. I want to turn it off so desperately. Like it doesn't have that feel to me.
Because it doesn't have anything that would wake you up out of whatever video game you're playing or whatever. 100%. Like, 100%. If I put this song as my alarm on my phone, I would sleep through it every day. Put any of these songs on this album, just wouldn't even wake up. Right. You know?
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good way to put it.
There are several songs on here that just made me say, this is no exaggeration. This has to be one of the worst songs we've ever reviewed. That's Made of Glass. I said that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to bring up.
That's track two. So like already on track two, you're pissed off.
Yeah.
And so, okay, where are you at on Headstrong? Like you're.
Whatever like, is my note.
Okay.
Whatever.
So I don't like it. You don't hate it though.
I don't think it's good. And I don't think I can go as far as to say that I like it. Because I've heard it so many times. Like, sure. I don't know if I can tolerate it because I've heard it a million times, if that makes sense.
Right.
So
Like, I don't know. I don't know if I like Headstrong. I know that Headstrong to me now and always has sounded, it's so hard to explain, sanded off, not edgy, not like none of the guitar affects my ears in the way that like Korn or Deftones is a perfect fucking band. That's a heavy band. Those guitar riffs are fucking heavy in these songs. You know what I mean? Be Quiet and Drive has that one. Nothing comes close to that here. Nothing makes me move my head. Everything here, I had to listen to this twice because everything here, I can just ignore it. It's like background noise. It's not anything. It's air. This is basically air music. Like, this could be playing while I'm watching TV, and I would be able to pay attention to the TV through it. It's
sure. Yeah.
Really boring. It's really boring, but soft is the best word I can describe. And you know what? The lyrics are what the lyrics are. It's a nu metal band. So the guys all come off as either soft or way too tough. You know, every band is either like a soft boy or a guy that you know you could punch once in the face and he would die.
But all of his songs are about how he's going to kill you with his bare hand.
Yeah, that's the two guys. This guy. Yeah.
Soft guy. Big time soft guy.
This guy's just soft. It's like all of his songs seem to be like.
Even Headstrong, right? Like Headstrong is supposedly about like, you know, I'm ready to take on anyone, anything. Like I'm ready to go. But it's like, even just the way the chorus plays out, it's like. Nah, dude, I do not listen to this song and think like powerful thoughts.
it's actually a moron's anthem is what I would call Headstrong. Cause it is, he is
that
like
would be a good parenthetical right beside them. Headstrong parenthetical, the moron's anthem, like heretic anthem for Slipknot. But the moron's
perfect
anthem. Yeah,
it is though. Headstrong, I'll take you on. Headstrong, like it is a
take
guy
on anyone.
It I is know. A guy saying I am never changing my mind.
Yeah,
that's what the song's about.
He's writing it like this is gonna make football players want to tackle each other harder, and we're hearing it as like my fucking wife won't let me watch TV after 9 p.m. because she's trying to sleep, fucking bitch.
I just see it.
What it is. That's more the guy. It's like a 40-year-old guy who like goes to his garage and puts it on and just thinks like, yeah, my fucking bitch wife. Like, she doesn't let me do what I want. I'm headstrong and I'm going to fucking show her.
Guy that is sneaking guitars into the basement because he bought them and his wife told him not to buy any new guitars.
Yeah, exactly.
It just... Headstrong literally could be like a Trump. Like, it's so unsurprising that this guy loves Trump because Headstrong really is kind of like a Trump guy's way of thinking too. Not to get too into politics, but if you've ever been in a conversation with one of those people, it doesn't matter what you say to them. There's no magical set of words that's going to make them think and reflect. You know what I mean? They could lose
made up their mind.
Yeah. Everybody in their family can disown them. They could be sitting alone at Thanksgiving, eating a fucking TV dinner, and they still are not changing their mind. And that's what this song feels like.
Yeah.
And like, that's why it's so.
And that's kind of what Headstrong means, right? Yeah. Like, Headstrong doesn't really mean like, I'm really tough and I'm really strong. It means like you're an asshole. Like if someone calls you, like the actual definition is determined to have one's own way, willful, stubborn, obstinate. It's not like, I think he's singing it like I have conviction in my own beliefs, but I'm also willing to like I'm a tough guy. Like, I'll I think fight. He thinks of it as like, I'll fight. I'm a tough guy. And no, it means you're like being a fucking loser that everybody hates.
Yeah. You're the guy that nobody likes. Like, the only reason we were all surprised that this guy was a Trump guy is because nobody had thought about him since 2002.
Yeah. It's like, I've got to commune with the singer of Trapped right now. Why do I even know this? You know, yeah,
I mean, I can't believe they did Snow Corps in 2004.
Well, because like, they hadn't done another album yet, though. Like, right. Like the next album doesn't come out till 2005. So they're riding the Headstrong wave. That's why.
Yeah, because they're not writing any of the other songs. Maybe you heard some of the other songs. I never heard any of them.
Yeah, Still Frame and Echo were both. Still Frame in particular, that's the second single. It definitely had play for sure.
Also, Echo sounds like a Fuel song to me. Like when I was listening to it, it just sounds like these guys really would have been more at home in that scene. You know what I mean?
It is definitely more surprising that they weren't like Fuel, Filter,
Theory even Dead
Foo
Man.
Fighters, like you could see them opening for Foo Fighters. Like, yeah, it's a little more surprising that they were trying to tour with the heavier bands of the time for sure.
Yeah, and it just is like the whole album's kind of like that. It's like a really like it's really strange because when you start to learn about their backstory, I mean, they are the archetypical kind of Trump dipshit, you know what I mean? Grew up comfortable or didn't grow or like, you know, Trump people either grew up very poor and think that they've succeeded and have now moved to the suburbs and now they're like, oh, I'm a high class individual because I make $47,000 a year, or they're people that just grew up comfortable their whole fucking life. And these guys grew up comfortable their whole life. And when you're reading the stuff about it, you're like, that's why this music has no edge, or like, I wouldn't say conviction, because I mean, headstrong means an abundance of conviction, but it does feel it feels like an album by people who've never had to struggle at all ever in their life. And that's what it is. Yeah. Too. It is an album by guys that grew up in a privileged suburb that were going to college. One of them going to college to be an engineer to work. The lead singer went to college to be an engineer to work at his uncle's company. I mean, come the fuck on, dude. You never even once in your life had to worry at all because you knew that there was something there. They talk about how, oh, we took a big leap of faith. It's like, I'm more impressed by somebody that takes a big fucking leap of faith because they don't have anything else.
Yeah, you know? Totally. Well, and I think like, you know, one of the earliest things I ever said on this podcast that a lot of people resonated with was it being exactly like that. Like, I grew up in an affluent suburb. You know, I went to a good school. I went to college. My parents didn't get divorced. You know, I grew up in a pretty stable home. You know, me and my sister get along really well. But I would listen to Korn and be like, yeah, finally someone gets me. Like, my life is really hard because my parents told me I couldn't have a pop or something. Like, you know, but that's kind of what it was, is like, you would listen to this music and you would think like, ah, my life is so shit. And it's so weird that Korn and those original new wave, that initial wave of new metal bands really captured that like white suburban kid who for some reason felt like their life was bad, even though it wasn't. I think just because the 90s were such a prosperous time overall. And so then it's interesting to see this is like a product of that. Like, for sure, I could have been this guy. Like, I wasn't, obviously, but like, he was obviously a guy who I think he's around the same age as me. I think he's maybe like just a little bit older than me. So he's listening to Korn in his like gated suburb of Los Gatos, which is just outside of San Jose, and he's listening to Korn and Limp Bizkit and going, yeah, it does suck to live in a nice house and have parents that care about you. And like, oh God, like my life is so shit. And he's like one of the few guys we're actually seeing like come out of that era and trying to like make sense of that. Like, he's being interviewed and people are asking him, you know, where did this come out of? And he's like, well, the band's called Trapped because we are really just trapped in, you know, this hellhole of a world where I was going to have a very rich engineering job and live in a nice town where it's always sunny. And it's like, okay. Yeah.
Well, and it's like, when they describe the cover of the album and it's a guy doing mowing his grass.
Yeah.
He's 43, Chris Taylor Brown. It's a guy mowing his grass on the front. And they're like, I could have ended up being that guy mowing his grass. It's like, motherfucker, that would mean you have a yard. You have a house and a fucking yard. Do you understand how some people just start with fucking nothing, man? I was kicked out of my parents' house at 19, didn't have a job, didn't have shit, and lived on somebody's couch for a year before. And I actually had to work my way to get here. But like I had to work a bunch of shitty jobs and all that stuff to get to where I am. I didn't have anything fucking guaranteed for me. I tried to move back in with my parents in 2002 and they straight up fucking said no. And like, I see a guy like this. My worst nightmare would be to make six figures and live in a fucking house in the suburbs. Fuck you, dude. In California, of all places, too.
Yeah.
It's just like, fuck you. You don't know shit about anything. And your songs are all about fucking nothing except for you have a bad feelings. You know what I mean? Like all the songs are just generically about having bad feelings because he doesn't know anything else. He's never done anything.
There's no struggle when you can't write songs about struggle when you didn't struggle. But it is weird that, you know, like not that I'm saying he's right because he's not. Like you're absolutely right, Brian. But it was like we were all products of that time period of like that is how suburban kids felt in the 90s was like, I am trapped. I don't want my parents' life. I don't want, you know, this life is so boring and bland and whatever. But it's like, yeah, exactly like you said, when you never struggle for anything, then what you can't write songs about. Write songs about love then, dude. Like write song. Don't try to write songs about you know, life is so tough. Write a love song. Everybody's good with love songs.
I'll say this, John. A lot of people like that are like there are a lot of people like him that were like, I don't want my parents' life. You know what I mean? Totally. Like there were a lot of people that didn't want that. And a lot of them just like moved to the urban area of town and hang out and they do your shit and they don't fucking cry about everything. Like there is another life that comes where being a rock star, which by the way, this guy's not a fucking rock star. Nobody knows who he is. He walks down the street and the only reason anybody would know who he is because he's had his picture taken in front of a fucking Proud Boy flag. It's like, this guy is like, nobody hasn't had a fucking hit. He's living off of royalties from one song and he's never in his life had to do anything. It is just really something. And gets to, you know, in his little interviews, he gets to talk about how everybody told me I shouldn't do this. And it's like, that's because you had a sure thing. That's why they told you not to fucking do this. You had a 100% sure thing. Some of us didn't have a sure thing. Some of us just had to fucking, you know, figure it out as we went. And it's just frustrating to me to be like, it's so frustrating because the album is soft as fuck. And it reads, when you listen to it, it's a soft guy being soft. You know what I mean? And it's like, I just don't know. This song's a hit because it's extremely easy to listen to. And it was probably in some video games. Was Headstrong in any video games?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And it was probably in movie trailers and shit like that. It's just a ubiquitous song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like it's also like an in-arena sports song. Right?
Yeah,
like that's where you're getting it. It's like it's an in arena. Like, you know, we play this when the team comes out onto stage or when the team comes out on the field, like that's their whole thing.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's funny because the other guy they play
is Gary Glitter, and Headstrong had some opinions on stage. Never mind. Wow. We're going to talk about on one of the articles.
Well,
they had some very Gary Glitter opinions.
I'm going to give you a little thing here to Brian. So right now, Trapped is on tour. They're playing this Thursday as we record this, May the 2nd, at the Cafe Acoustic Concert Hall in St. Joseph, Missouri. Do you want to guess what the capacity of that venue is, Brian?
It can't be more than 200.
It is 100.
Well, and you know what's funny? When we're reading these articles, there was one where he was bragging about selling 2,000 tickets now. It's impressive to sell 2,000 tickets. It really is. I've never sold 2,000 tickets for anything I did, but I also didn't have my song playing twice an hour for fucking 2 years. Like, you got the 2,000 seat venues off of that. Like, you couldn't make anything out of fucking that, you know?
Totally.
They're playing here May 5th in Cincinnati
playing on like a tour with Tantric, Edema, and Josie Scott. So those are like slightly bigger venues.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm looking at them though. I wish they did a Columbus one, because I know the last time they played here, they played a place called the Scarlet and Gray Cafe, where I used to do open mic.
Oh man. Yeah, like they're playing this bar in Connaughtville, Pennsylvania, and it's called the Country Corner Inn.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah, when they're not on like a legacy tour like this one with Tantric and Edema and Josie Scott or whatever, it's like they're playing these tiny towns I've never heard of, playing these like impossibly small venues. Like, yeah, they're playing Alibi Pub and Grub in Wonder Lake, Illinois.
Holy fuck, they're playing the King of Clubs here with Saliva, Tantric, and the King of Clubs is a small venue. It's in a strip mall. Let me look it up here, because it might be a little bigger because it used to be a nightclub, but it is definitely not big, and it's though 850. They're playing an 850 right. capacity venue with three bands.
Yeah, but I think you have all three of those bands, that kind of makes sense to me that you could play that.
I would think you could play 2,000 with those bands, but I guess 850. I'm looking at the picture of it. Oh my god, this isn't even a strip mall.
They're playing a bowling alley in Michigan. They're playing like just venues that sound bad, like The Zone in Abilene, Texas.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I would give up. Aside from playing the like legacy tours.
Yeah, you can't give up. I wouldn't be doing shows alone just because I am an asshole that is very outspoken asshole, and people can look up the capacity of the venues you're playing on your own. I just would be like, I'm not going to do these like small venue shows.
Yeah,
like I don't want people to find out
in between playing these like 800 cap venues with some other bigger bands. I don't get that.
I think they're broke, dude. It
must be, man.
I think they're fucking broke, and they can't take any time off the road. They have to play these 100, 150 person venues to make enough money to stay on the road on the other tour.
Right.
Probably. I don't think
you're probably right.
And they can't really do anything. Like, they can't really, like, what else can they do? I guess he could go back to college and learn. He should go back to college and learn how to be a fucking engineer.
Should have done that 10 years ago. Now, before we get into the articles, Brian, I know you were texting me because not only did you think this is maybe the worst album we've ever listened to on the show, but you particularly pointed out one song that you think is the worst song we've ever covered, which is the acoustic song Stories.
Oh, that now we got to talk about, this is the last thing we have to talk about before we get to the articles.
Yeah.
This is the worst song we've ever done, and not funny.
The funniest song we've ever done was recent. I can't remember what it is. It was Dropping Plates, and then there was one more that was even funnier than that. But this one...
Well, it was the Stone Sour spoken word.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was awesome. This song just sucks. And it's like... You have to go back and look at the albums me and John have covered on this show. And you can even go look at the Patreon albums that we've covered on this show. And I'm fucking saying right now, Stories is the worst song we've ever covered on a POD cast ever. It's terrible. And when I was listening to it, I was like, these dumb motherfuckers could have gone country and might be playing 300 capacity venues. Right. You know right. what I mean? But they're so stupid. They don't fucking know how to do anything. They're just like, we got to play Headstrong twice a night because that's what we have. We have Headstrong. Nobody that's seeing them knows anything about any of the other songs. You write yourself a country version of Headstrong and then maybe a few more country songs, you're getting not Aaron Lewis money, but by the way, Aaron Lewis is playing small venue. He's not like playing huge venues.
No, but bigger
than his solo stuff, bigger than Trapped.
Yeah.
He might be in the same size as, I don't know. I don't know actually what he's playing, but I'm saying he's not playing these huge venues, but I'll bet you being a Trump guy, and having Headstrong, a song that was a massive hit that could easily be turned into a country song, would fucking be wildly successful. The same way Lit was wildly successful at doing it. The same way Aaron Lewis has been able to do it. And it's pretty surprising to me that these guys never cynically did. When I told you about it, I was like, it's really weird because like, these guys never cynically did the country music thing, but now when I think about it and I've read the articles and I've listened to the songs a few times, I just think they're too fucking stupid. I don't think it's anything. They would cynically do something, but they're just not smart enough to cynically do something. You know what I mean? And that's what I think. I don't think these guys ever go home because I think if they leave the road, they feel like they're going to end up working at a fucking... you know, building supply store or something like that. So they stay on the road the whole fucking time and they're just too stupid to, they're too stupid to do something that cynical because they're just like, well, I mean, we could do that or we could just play Headstrong twice a night and go on the road and play Headstrong as the first song and the last song and people go fucking wild for it and then kind of sit and talk to each other through the rest of the set. You know, at my cafe, at a cafe. So they probably walk into that fucking cafe and they're like, can we move some of these tables? People can't go nuts. And it's like, don't worry. There's don't not going to be enough people to go nuts. And
it'll be fine. I have some wild news for you, Brian. I looked at Aaron Lewis's tour page and he is playing venues that range in cap from 2,000 to 4,000.
No fucking way.
Yeah, and some of the
Bluestone here.
Some of the tour dates, he's doing two shows in the city. So yeah, he's playing the Rosemont Theater in Rosemont, Illinois. The cap for that is 4,400. He's playing the Eagles Club in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that holds 3,500. So he is like, but I will also say the tour is called Aaron Lewis, True American Patriot Tour.
Yeah, so, that's how you sell a bunch of tickets. These guys can do that.
Because the Trapped guy is like that.
Uh-huh.
But the problem with the Trapped guy is, well, we'll get into it, I guess, with the articles. But the problem with the Trapped guy is he fights with his right-wing fans.
Yes, so, he's a dumbass.
If you were just a right-wing guy and you also wrote Headstrong and you wrote some other songs about how America rocks, then yeah, you could... We're giving you some ideas. I do feel like there's a non-zero chance the Trapped guy listens to this. And if he does, that's a free idea from me and Brian for you. Start. You want to grift for real? Dump the other guys in your band. They're not helping you. Write a country album and unite your bass.
Can I say New Beginning also? John was like, the last song's kind of heavy. And then I was listening to it. And I was like, this is probably the best song on the album. And then I looked to see how much time was left. And there were four more minutes.
Well, it's because there's a hidden track after. The whole song is not that long.
I thought it was 9 minutes.
No, like, no. The song's only like 4 minutes. And then it's like a 5 minute like instrumental outro kind of thing.
Okay. Well, I'll let him off the hook on that one.
Yeah, you can let him off the hook there. But Yeah, let's get into the articles. I know, you know, anybody who's been following Trapped with any degree of familiarity will know that, you know, the Trapped guy is pretty insane. But we do have some insane early articles, too. So, Brian, where did you want to start?
I want to start with, I had been talking about how the guy grew up, and I want to talk about how the interviews he does are mostly the same back then. And I want to talk about a little bit about some of what he said. So I'm going to read. The guy goes, did growing up in Los Gatos influence your music? And he goes, definitely.
Sorry, this is from the this is from an MTV
VH1 MTV
interview. It's Trapped Face Forward. The Snowcore Boys prove their parents wrong, praise Pink Floyd, and reveal the tricks that go on backstage.
Snow poop core. Chris Brown, definitely it's the reason we're called Trapped. Growing up, being 16, you don't want any restrictions on you. When someone tells you not to do something, you immediately want to go do it. Now, here's where I think a little bit of self-mythologizing comes up, because, yes, I grew up in a privileged suburb. Anybody can look that up, and anybody can know. He goes, you're put on – and this is the least rock and roll guy of all time. He goes, then you get into trouble for it. If you do things, then the law catches up to you. Insane. He is saying that because it makes his –
they were chasing him down. He was a real gunslinger that Wyatt Earp was trying to track across the American West. He makes it sound like the cops wouldn't have just like known where he lived if they found out.
You're put on probation, grounded, and you feel it's you against the world. It influenced a lot of the lyrics to our early stuff, but then you grow up and realize this is so lame, so fun, that it's not the rest of the world that has the problem. It's you that has the problem. So you learn to live with the system and work it out and have fun, while at the same time abiding by the laws. You deal with yourself and you can start dealing with the outside world. Embarrassing sentence about the whole, like, you learn to live within the system. It's like, ugh, okay. I'm not rocking to that, brother.
No, me neither. I loved, like, this article. I loved because the start of it is amazing. It's literally the first line of the article. Chris Brown, lead singer with Trapped, frowns when it's put to him that lots of guys join bands to attract women. Some of them, he replies, start a band because they like music.
That's so cool.
It's like, shut up, you fucking loser. Also, it stands to note, handsome guy, okay? Like, especially back then, you watch the football old player. Trap music videos, like, he's a good-looking guy with a chiseled jaw, also complaining about, I grew up in this great neighborhood. I was the high school football star. For sure, he's fucking a bunch of chicks. And those are his words, not mine. And, you know, definitely. And he's acting like, no, I'm just doing it for the music, man. It's like,
this guy's a big chicks dude. There is oh my God. There is where he goes, do the waif like girls? And first of all,
this is so funny.
Video has a bunch of hot model girls in it.
Yeah, the main girl in the Echo video is Michelle Trachtenberg, who you may know from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She also played Harriet the Spy in the Harriet the Spy movie. And then as she like aged into like being an adult, she was like a model and considered to be, you know, a very hot like it girl of the moment.
He goes, do the waif like girls in the Echo video reflect your taste in women? Waif like? I don't think they're that thin. They're normal bodied girls. And then Simon goes, yeah, I mean, they're hot chicks. And then so embarrassing. Then VH1 goes, knowing is going to make him sound like an idiot, goes, define hot. What turns you on? He goes, there's not really one thing I look for. Once a girl's hot, she's hot. You look at her and you're attracted to her. But what makes a girl really hot is how cool she is, what she has going on upstairs. That's what makes you really, really go for a girl. And then Simon goes, I would agree with that. I would also say that a unifying factor amongst all men is, and Chris goes, she has to have a great ass. And then Simon says, exactly, a slamming booty. A slamming booty. That's got to be the name of this. A slamming booty. Nasty. Insane. That's nasty. A nasty thing to say.
And then it goes on from there to say, because yeah, in the Echo video, he's like, Michelle Trachtenberg is kind of like stalking him. And they say, is making out with a model under the hot lights for 6 hours one of the perks of the job? No. I was rolling around on the beach for hours with Michelle, and it was definitely a chore. We used like 2 seconds of it in the video, so it was like the most pointless thing.
How do you like this one? This is the...
And it's just like, again, watch the video. Like, Michelle Trachtenberg looks very nice. Like, it's just the idea of him being like,
no. I mean, she's a hot chick, dude.
She's a hot chick with a nice slamming hot chick booty.
Putting your rocking with a slamming booty. I liked this, too, because it shows how devoid of any sort of humor they have. Do you ever play any practical jokes on your support bands? Remember when Fallon was on and she said that the Disturbed guys like would throw dildos on stage, and we were like, what a shitty prank. I mean, it's not even like a funny prank. It's just a bunch of dildos. You know what I mean? Well, this guy goes, we're on tour with this band Stage. Don't name your band Stage. I know you think it's funny and you probably have a reason. You know what I mean? They probably have some fucking reason. Like, your life's a stage, man. And we play on a stage. It's a dual meaning.
Horrible, Ben.
And replaced their water with vodka. No, you didn't. We had a cup of poo right by the drums. No, you didn't.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, we just put a cup of poo next to the drums. Poo
by the drums.
Lying mother. These guys are lying ass liars. And he goes, and played porn music through the speakers while they were on.
There's zero chance that happened. Like, negative 1,000% chance that as the band was playing, they piped in porno music. Zero chance.
Zero chance. And then this last part is like, maybe this is one that's possible that they did, but he's like... I got to do it the way he was probably doing it. We put this finely ground flour on a drummer's snare, so every time he hit his snare drum, it poofed right into his face. Ah!
Using the word poofed to like try to sound like, well, we're real pranksters, man. It's just like
George Clooney over there doing practical jokes. None of those happened. The poop one definitely didn't happen, because anybody who's performed at any venue and talked to the people that run the venue know that if you put a cup of poop on stage, they're kicking you right the fuck out. They ain't gonna be allowed to stay for the rest.
There's no way there was a cup of poo on the stage.
No poop on stage. But anyway, the porn music one is also stupid, but that finely ground flour one a guy like really in his head, like, this is the funniest shit I ever did, man. Dude. This was a good one. And then you hear it and you're like, okay. He got powder on himself.
So dumb. The only other one I had from this article was just kind of like exactly what we were saying earlier, where it's just like, it sounds like a pretty good life, right? Like, he says, you know, he talks about the album cover, the guy mowing the lawn, blah, blah. And then VH1 asks, do you ever have nightmares that you'll turn into that guy on the cover? Chris, in these walls, we imagine ourselves being 35 and taking the safe route, finishing up my mechanical engineering major at UC Santa Barbara and going to work for my uncle. I did a 9-week internship and it was the most boring thing I've ever done in my life. I worked 9 to 5 every day and I commuted 45 minutes in traffic every day. I couldn't stand it. It was good to go through that and see what I was missing, and I wasn't missing anything.
Can I tell you what makes me the most happy? Oh, never mind. Never mind. I thought it was called In These Walls. I was like, so when you search that, a Machine Gun Kelly song comes up instead of Trap, but I got it wrong. I do have a few more things from here that I'd like to.
The MTV article?
Yeah. Because there's a few
things. This whole article it's one of the best articles we've ever read.
There's a few things that I'll get through it as fast as I can.
Oh, it's all good, yeah.
But this is such a conservative thing. Janet Jackson's breastbearing incident really has the moral watchdogs out. Have you guys ever been the victims of censorship? No, we've said everything we wanted to say, and we haven't had anyone to say not to. That's the good, Simon. That's the good thing about this country, Chris. No one can tell you not to say something, but they can definitely knock you off the air because it's their station. Like, if you say something I don't want you to say in my house, then I'll kick you out of my house. I have every right to, but you can go on the street and say it.
Howard Stern can go out in the streets of New York with a little speaker and say what he wants to say. But if he says something that Clear Channel doesn't want him to say, then he's going to get suspended. It's their station. They pay for it. So pathetic. But
well, I also love the idea of this guy being like, no one's ever told me I can't say anything. It's like, so you're comparing yourself to a black woman and basically saying like, well, you know, that's kind of her fault. Like, no one ever tells me I can't do anything. It's like, dude, I wonder why that has been that way in your life so far.
It would be sick to show him that, like when he was posting about the woke police going after him, like a really good way to just share it with them. But then they go, have you ever changed something to avoid getting into trouble like that? But this is so pathetic. So pathetic. You have no idea. When I read this, you're gonna be like, these are the most pathetic guys ever. The only thing I've changed is on Headstrong. I used to say fuck off. Then I started thinking, there are kids that listen to our stuff. Do I want to say it's okay to fuck off to everybody? There's probably a better way to say it. And back off is the same as F off to me. So it got changed. By the way, he doesn't say fuck in this thing. He says F off. Yeah, back off is the same as F off to me. So it got changed. But there was no influence from anybody to tell me whether I should say F off or back off. It's like, first of all, there was. Why would he change that if nobody told him to? And it's because it's a radio hit, and the label probably told him not to change it so that they can make it the radio song.
It's also just like this guy paints himself as sort of like a badass guy, but then is also like, back off is the same as fuck off to me. It's like, who thinks that? Who would think that those are the same two things? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and that's all I got from that article. Most of what I have from the second article is a lot of the same stuff I'm looking at now. So if you got stuff from the AP article, then...
Yeah, well, this one is from, this is from the AP. It was printed in the South Coast Today by Karen Rousseau. It's from May 20th, 2004. And it wasn't like, it wasn't really like that notable other than the people like go right at him and they're just like, you dropped out of college to pursue your dreams. Did people think you were crazy? We definitely kept the college thing going until the last second. So he wasn't that
committed. No fucking struggle again.
Yeah. We kept it going until the last second, but at a certain point you have to go for one or the other. Really, you can't do what other people expect of you. But how I'm reading this is, I went to college until I got a record deal. And then when I got a record deal, I was like, okay, I could leave college now. And then the interviewer asks, you grew up in ritzy suburban Santa Barbara. Were your parents mad when you became a musician? Chris, pretty much the experience was to have a safe route and a guarantee. Any parent would do that. The chances of making it in a band are slim, but you just have to believe yourself. And it's like, okay, well, if you had the safe route, once again, if there is a safe route that's there for you, you didn't really take a big risk.
You didn't take a hard route. You didn't take the road less traveled or anything like that. I like this too. What's it like growing up in the suburbs? I lived in the suburban sea in Los Gatos, this sheltered and privileged area. You get a lot of authority figures who will do anything to mess up the kids' fun. It's harder to grow up faster in a place like that. You definitely get frustrated. My parents would work and I would have people over after school and the cops would come over just to see what's going on. You get in trouble. I got in trouble with the law. It's like, there's shut up,
no fucking fuck way. You're saying that you were partying so hard at like 3:30 in the afternoon that the cops were coming over. Like, what he's saying is, my neighbor growing up was a police officer, and when he got home from work, he said hi to me.
This is
me and my friends.
John, this is really weird to me, and I have to. AP says Trapp's website asks for fans to send in their stories. Yeah. What do you want them for? And he goes, if I have insecurities or problems that happen to me, I write lyrics about them, and that's my kind of therapy to help me through my problem. I want to see how far our fans deal with their problems and different things that they go through. Just kind of listen to their stories and maybe find some of the best stories out there and visit these kids and get to know them. He's using that to write songs. He is using these kids' experiences to write songs for the next album. It is creepy and it is fucking weird.
It's weird. And just the line of like, yeah, I want these kids to write me and then maybe I'll go hang out with them.
Yeah. Hey, teenagers, write me all your problems. Maybe I'll hang back and I'll get a hold of you. Not in a weird way. No.
Just I imagine away. He just like shows up at a kid's house. He's like, so you wrote me a letter about, you know, how your parents got divorced and you haven't talked to your dad in 3 years. Can you just tell me a little bit more about, like, he's interviewing them, like a news reporter. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
You know what it reminds me of is the Limp Bizkit guitar. Was the Guitar Center thing where they were like, these guys are having like the best guitars across the guitarists across the country come and try out for the band. How do we know they're not going to use their riffs? Because Wes was out of the band. And it's like,
yeah,
we don't know that actually. Yeah. Like, I'm a big Limp Bizkit fan, but I agree with the question.
Results may vary based on which riffs we steal from which guitar centers.
Yeah, because you sign something when you try out.
Yeah, for sure.
So they definitely could have just taken riffs that people played in the tryouts. And I think, I mean, I'm being charitable when I say that he did this so he could get subjects to write songs about. If I was being uncharitable, I would say it's very creepy what he's doing. And that I would love to, I mean, let's see what he was emailing back and forth with those kids, I guess. It's just weird. Yeah. It's not something I would never encourage teenagers to email me with their problems.
Well, I
and a submission like, form on the website.
It does seem like the interviewer has kind of zeroed in on that too, right? Like she's asking them, like, why do you want them?
Yeah.
Why like, would you? Why are you want? Why is there a form on your website that people can write in with their problems? Like, John, why do you want that?
John, would you ever in a million years be interested in a teenager's problems?
Well, as a high school teacher, I kind of had to be sometimes, but
outside of that,
but even then, sometimes you're like, I don't want to know this. Don't stop talking.
Well, for me, what I'm saying is that like, I don't think there's any practical reason for me to know some teenager's problems.
No, totally. 100% not.
And I think it's weird to want to know that.
Well, it's just like, it's the same kind of thing where, you know, like we would get, cause the, like the discipline for teachers in my old school district and in my province was dealt with by the teachers themselves, like by the teachers union. So they had to publicize, pardon me, they would have to publicize like when people got in trouble, like when they got suspended or expelled from teaching or whatever, they were forced to like write about it in a magazine that we got like every quarter. And like some of the reprimands would be like teachers were going to like high school parties, basically. Yeah. And it's like, and it's not even necessarily that they were, you know, there was no like assault or anything like that. It was just like they were going to high. And I'm like, what fucking adult in their right mind wants to go to a high school? Even putting aside the like you know that it's wrong and it's like a violation of your job. Like even putting that aside, what 25-year-old person wants to go like an or older, however old they are, but usually like the youngest you are when you're teaching is like 24, 25. So even that, even when you're like 24, what 24-year-old in their right mind wants to go to a high school? I'd rather die than go to a high school party. It's like,
and I mean,
what are you talking
about? If a teenager comes to you that you know because they trust you with their problems, that is a way different thing than asking teenagers that you don't know to send you emails with their problems and having a form on the site.
Even if you're a teacher and you're like, hey, just so you guys know, like if you have any problems, send me an email. Like I would never invite that. Like, yeah, if you can tell that like something's going on with a kid or if they approach you after class or whatever, that's way different. Yeah. But to just volunteer like, hey, look, you know, I was a teenager once. You want to just email me with your problems. I'm there. That is fucking weird. Yeah. Unless you're a school counselor.
And really the last thing I have was from the Rad article.
Yeah, this is from, this is by Mark Sergi from Rad from December 16th, 2003. So this is only like a month after the album comes out.
This is also
a very telling answer from Chris.
Yes, and I think I know exactly the one you're going to choose, and I cannot believe he said this.
Your band started playing rapcore music, which, by the way, they used to call, I forgot they used to call nu metal rapcore for a period of time. That was kind of a blast from the past. He goes, why did you change your style? We rapped a little bit when we first started. We used to play with Papa Roach, and they did some rapping. So when they switched their style of play, we kind of followed their lead and got away from it.
I cannot believe he just said that in an article.
Come on, man.
Papa Roach stopped rapping, and we've just always thought they were a great band, so we just stopped doing it too.
Oof. John, it's worse than that. It is, hey, we heard Papa Roach rapping, so we started rapping. Then Papa Roach kind of got away from rapping, so we stopped rapping. It's like, motherfucker, what do you have going on with Papa Roach? You just follow Papa Roach's lead? They're your fucking leader? And you know what? To be honest, Papa Roach is a band that you could tell influenced the fuck out of these guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't remember if I liked Infest or not, so I'm not ready to goof
you on did like Papa Infest. Roach.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We both did. We both liked Infest.
Okay. Yeah. Why following Papa Roach like that? You know, when Papa Roach stops doing something, it's already too late. You know what I mean? Like, Papa Roach isn't like a hip band or anything like that. So
no,
I don't know. Very weird. Very fucking weird guys, man. But then the other stuff is this. We've talked about a lot of the other stuff on the show.
Yeah. It's. So most of the other, I had three other articles. All of them are basically about Chris Taylor Brown's like late career, like very weird, like online career. Trapped has been kicked off of Facebook and Twitter. They started posting on Truth Social and Rumble.
Are they still on there?
I don't even know. But there's just some really funny stuff on here. Like this, this headline alone is just so brutal. It's from Loudwire in 2021. Trapped singer clarifies comments on statutory rape. It's like, oh my God.
Well, that's an interesting thing for the guy that had teenagers write him letters with their problems. Have to
comment on. Basically, he was saying the joke that he made was about like female teachers who had been arrested for having sex with their male students. And then he was just like, if that was my kid, I would high five him. You know, like that classic, like, grossness. But this one I kind of thought, like, yeah, most of it is really gross and we don't really have to go over it, but this is just a very funny post in general, and it's not super like gross. It's from Trapped Official on Facebook, and he writes, this is from 2015, if you are actually a real fan of Keeping Up with the Kardashians or the Enter City Here Housewives and don't just watch it to laugh at them, then please move out of this country. You are destroying it.
Oh.
To idolize people with no particular talents who don't use the money their fanatics make them for any real purpose other than showing it off is exactly what is wrong with America. Go ahead.
What do you use your money for, sir?
Yeah, except he doesn't have any.
Yeah, that's a fair enough point. He's got his like per diem. He gets 20 bucks a day to eat while he's on his crappy tour.
It's devolution. These people have money to burn, yet they do not do great things with it. Buying flashy things just to show them off? How is that fulfilling? We get it.
Is.
They flaunt big mansions, flashy cars, and a lot of pointless drama in their lives, and people watch it, hopefully to laugh their asses off. Well, those flashy things will be forgotten next month, and they will have to buy new flashy things and fight over who is more flashy. Set an example with your fame and money, damn it. And then he signed the post, CTB, after watching Bravo for 20 minutes today. Ugh, why? How? Hashtag my brain hurts now.
After watching a marathon on Bravo today, but not wanting to admit that. He wrote that post. I mean, and by the way, expensive things kind of fucking rule.
That's why they're expensive. When it's
they're expensive because they fucking rule.
Well, it's this post is just such a classic, like he thinks he's being a smart guy.
I know.
It's not about like it's actually not about what he's talking about at all. He doesn't actually have those opinions about rich people. He thinks that like this is intelligent cultural criticism that he's doing. And that's why he's saying it.
He's smarter than the bit. Like his fans are probably dumber than the people that watch that crap, you know? Yeah. So
totally.
Yeah. What a fucking dumbass this guy is. This band, I hate this band. I this do.
It was a wild ride, but yeah, definitely. There's a few other Trapped articles that I pulled. I will link them on our Patreon if you want to read more about all the stupid shit that Chris Taylor Brown has said over the years. There's a really good Daily Beast article that kind of sums a lot of it up. And so, yeah, if you don't know that, over on our Patreon, if you're a member of our Patreon, we actually post all the articles that we read on this show. So you can check that out. We also do 3 bonus episodes a month over on our Patreon. It's patreon.com/thepodcast, cast with a K, like the band Korn. You get 1 full length bonus episode and 2 short bonus episodes every month. The full length one is always about an album. Last month, a lot of people, Brian, saying it's an all-timer, one of their favorite episodes. David J. Roth from Defector Media joined us to discuss Godzilla the Album, we went off. The episode's almost 2 hours long. Brian and I fought on it. It was a really good time. So yeah, we've also have an exclusive Discord that you can get into, merch discounts, video versions of our bonus episodes. It's all there. Patreon.com/thepodcast. Usually, Brian, we do the tweet defense before the Patreon plug, but it just felt like a seamless way of doing it there. So before we get on to the end of the show, we do have to review this album. How we review the album is if someone were to tweet at you and say that this album sucked, how many tweets would you do in defense of it? Brian, we'll start with you. What was your score for this album?
It'd be 1, and it would be, yeah, I agree with you. It fucking sucks. I wouldn't even defend it. I'd just be like, yeah, it's a sucky one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going 1 as well, just because I would maybe defend the song Echo. And then after that, it's pretty diminishing.
It's a bad album.
Yeah, what do they call it? Audio wallpaper. It's very much that kind
of album.
Okay, so there you go. You have the tweet defense. Now it is time for the challenge. Every month, Brian and I try to challenge ourselves to do something related to the album. Then you vote on a winner. Last month, Brian, it was a very tight one. You could almost say it was a tie. 53-47 ended up being the poll results, but we had to write a slam poem in the style of Corey Taylor for what he did on the Stone Sour album. But it was me that was the 53-47 winner. So I now have 27 wins. Brian has 26, and we have 2 ties. So for this month, for the Trapped Challenge, we need to make a band name like Trapped, because he basically says that they named the band Trapped because they felt trapped by their, suburban lifestyle and having to live like that. Here, I'll even give you the exact quote from Rad Magazine. Has the band always been named Trapped, and why is that the name? Chris, yeah, Trapped has been our only name. We named it that because of experiences we had growing up. It was hard for us to do what we wanted to do. There were always people trying to keep us grounded and out of trouble, and really all it did was hold us back. It was kind of frustrating. So in the style of the band name Trapped, Brian, what is your new band or your band's name if you were to, name it in a similar style?
Well, this is just goes back to where I grew up. It's something we would say. It's Grow Pot High, GR0POTHIGH. Because Groveport, if you take the V and the E off, it says grow, and the R, it says grow pot. So Grow Pot High.
You guys actually called it that, Grow Pot?
No. But when the senior prank my year was to take off the letters that would on the sign outside that says Groveport High, and it said Grow Pot High, and we thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm going with a band name that sort of nods to the fact that Chris was studying to be an engineer and the fact that he thinks he's a smart guy. And I would call the band name Engineering Consent, which is a take off on Noam Chomsky's Manufacturing Consent, which Chris Brown would probably like to say that, you know, he studies and is very important. And then also it seems like maybe the band has some issues with consent. So kind of a bit of a double whammy there, but yeah, there you have it. So yeah, you'll be able to vote on who won that challenge over on our Twitter, twitter.com/thepod_cast, cast with a K like the band Korn. Also, what you can do on our Twitter is you can vote in the poll every month. Brian and I choose two albums each to put in the poll, and then you, the listener, decide which one we listen to next month. We usually put the poll up around the 20th or so of the month. So if you follow us on Twitter, you'll see the link when that goes live. Brian, which two albums are you putting up in the poll this month?
Number one, Theory of a Dead Man, Scars and Souvenirs.
Fuck off.
Number two, one I like, Spine Shank, Strictly Diesel. So I put one good, one bad.
Okay. I'm going with two bands we haven't covered in a long time, and I think we're overdue. We've done quite a few B-tier bands in a row. I guess Linkin Park is definitely not a B-tier band, and that was four episodes ago. But yeah, I wanted to get these two bands back in a poll. So I'm going to put up Korn's Untouchables and System of a Down's first album, their self-titled System of a Down. I haven't talked about System of a Down in like 50 episodes.
So it was like the third episode or some shit, and then we didn't talk about them again.
Yeah, so we did Toxicity very early on. And so yeah, we'll see if they can get themselves back winning a poll. But again, you can vote for that on our Twitter, twitter.com/thepod_cast. Cast with a K. You can also donate to our Patreon, patreon.com/thepodcast. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. We'll see you back here next month. Goodbye.